Hello and welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. I'm Viv Davis from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. It's the 8th of December 2011 and I'm speaking to Professor Charles Riploche of the Graduate Institute Geneva about the crisis in the Eurozone. Today's EU summit in Brussels is being described by many as a defining moment in the future of the Eurozone. Professor Riploche is of the opinion that the political leaders should agree a decentralised fiscal discipline for the Eurozone countries and allow the European Central Bank to play a more effective role. He also dismisses the recent suggestion that the crisis is simply about balance of payments issues. I began the interview by asking Charles whether, in light of recent announcements, he was still optimistic about the prospects of an emerging solution for the Eurozone.
A bit less. I was doing my best to be optimistic because I have been so worried for so long. I thought there was a glimmer of hope, and I still think there is. I thought that the ECB was opening up to the possibility of doing what they should do, namely being lender of last resort in some way or another. And they were looking for a pretext to do that. And they were essentially asking the governments to come up with some great commitment to future fiscal discipline. So I thought now there is the play is underway, the show is underway, and the actors know what part they should play. And that went in this direction for a few days, and now what we saw yesterday is the Chancellor Merkel coming with ridiculous request one more time, and the thing could collapse. I think what the ECB needs at that stage is a grand statement which looks reasonably acceptable to all member countries. And then the ECB said, oh, we'll say, okay, governments are doing their job and we'll do ours. But if the Germans keep insisting on doing silly things, then we may not have a serious agreement, and that would be very bad.
Do you think then that Merkel may have missed the point in dividing the Eurozone into fiscal saints and fiscal sinners?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the case for a long time, and that's not wrong, actually. I'm not sure I would put Germany in the fiscal saints. Certainly Finland belongs to the fiscal saints, certainly Netherlands belong there, but Germany has a very patchy record, so that's another story. But what's wrong with the German view? There are two things which are wrong. One, there is this saints, sinners view, and the idea that people who have sinned have to atone and do all sorts of sort of terrible things, you know, whip their backs.
Self-flagellation.
Until it bleeds, and all of that, which is a moral view which you may or may not agree with. But in economic terms, it makes no sense. So that's number one. The number two is that we need to have fiscal discipline in the monetary union. It's been the missing piece of the Maastricht Treaty. And it was not missing, it was badly treated. But we need to do it in a smart way. And the problem is that the Germans have one model, which is the German federal system, where the center essentially controls the sub-federal levels, the Länder. And that's the way Germany runs, and it doesn't work too well. Now and then you have Länder that default, and the federal government has to bail them out. So it's not a great system. There's another system, which is the U.S. system, where the federal government has no control really on what's happening at the state level. But all states somehow manage to take care of their budgets. They have fiscal discipline, even if they cheat a little bit with their own rules. But it works very well. And it's more respectful of the sub-federal level. Now, given that we, Europe, we don't even have a federal state and we don't have sub-federal states, we just have nation states which are very jealous of their sovereignty in fiscal matters, the German model cannot work. It's lost even before you mention it. And that's what the Germans keep wanting, because that's what they know within their own country. And that's a terrible misunderstanding, and that's the one of the key problems we are facing now.
So this is what you're suggesting should be a decentralized fiscal discipline.
Totally, and that's why a number of us have been arguing for years that the stability pact with this subtle punishment will not work. And that you have to call, each country has to do what it has to do, to have fiscal discipline, and somehow the system, the Eurozone, should provide incentives for country one to adopt these things and to respect these arrangements when they adopted them, but not punishing, not controlling, not denting sovereignty, which is impossible.
Martin Wolf suggested yesterday in the FT that the Eurozone crisis is a balance of payments crisis, and that ultimately external adjustment is far more important than fiscal austerity. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I know what Martin has been talking and writing about for the last month. I think it's not right. I think it's wrong. I think there is no serious competitiveness problem within the Eurozone. Everybody is looking at data which is wrong the way they are presented. Everybody was worried about current account deficit in a part of the zone and surpluses in the other, but these have nothing to do with competitiveness. It's exactly like China. Everybody wants the Chinese to revalue because they have a current account surplus. The Chinese have a surplus because they save too much, or they save a lot, not too much. That's the decision. The Germans are savers, and the Greeks. The Greek private sector is not de-saving, it's the government that has been borrowing. And the Spanish private sector has been de-saving because they borrowed to have their bubble pretty much in the US. So you have all sorts of reasons why we have had these diverging current accounts that fascinate, apparently, Martin Wolf. But it's nothing to do with exchange rate or prices, all of that. That's a total misreading of the situation.
Okay, and what about Standard & Poor's recent threat to downgrade the Eurozone countries? Is that a real threat to the potential of the EFSF and the bailout facility?
As usual, the rating agencies are behind the curve, and it's been a while that some countries, in particular France, have faced a serious risk premia, which means it's not a triple A. So I'm not surprised about that. The truth of the story is that part of what's going to happen in the weeks or months that come is that a number of important countries will default partially on their public debt, which means that the banks in most countries will have a very serious bank crisis, and the governments will have to do something about their bank crisis, which means they are not AAA anymore. They have unsafe banks, and they cannot be considered AAA, and that's true of Germany, and that's true of France.
How important do you think is tomorrow's summit for the Eurozone, for the future of the Euro?
It's like the last 20 summit we've had since the beginning of the crisis. Ex ante, everybody's very excited and say it's going to be the final comprehensive solution. And ex post, we'll discover they made silly decisions and they made the situation worse.
What do you think the possibility is of a Eurozone collapse? Or is there such a thing as an orderly collapse?
No, there is no orderly collapse, and I don't think there will be a collapse. It's in the economic interest of no country to leave, and the country can very well default on part of its debt without leaving the euro area. There is no connection there. A number of people make this connection, but they don't explain why. So I see no reason for any country to leave. Now, political conditions may develop in this or that country that will lead to a departure from the Eurozone, but not yet, and hopefully never, because it would be a total disaster.
And the other thing that's being pronounced today is the requirement to change the European treaties. Is that going to be a hindrance to development?
Well, it depends why you change them for. If it's to change them for the madness that Chancellor Merkel is proposing, the European Court of Justice deciding what is an excessive budget deficit, then it would not be a good thing. If we change the treaty to impose smart fiscal discipline in every single country, that would be a welcome change. But I don't think that's what they are up to, and that's why I don't expect that this summit will bring us the solution yet.
So in summary, Charles, what would you suggest to the Eurozone leaders meeting tomorrow as being the way out of the crisis and how best to create a more stable economy going forward?
Well, first best is they would decide to decentralize fiscal discipline and that's part of the discussion, to require that every single member of the Eurozone adopt some sort of the German debt break solution, which is a good solution. It's borrowed from the Swiss and it's been worked pretty well in Switzerland. So That would be the only change I would require, and I'm not sure we need a treaty for that. It could be enforced in other ways. But if they were to decide that and nothing else, that would be the beginning of the end of the crisis. Then the ECB would have to do its part. Second best for me is that they would make a solemn promise: we don't have any summit for the next 2 years, because each summit is creating terrible problems and generating enormous instability. So I'd rather have them stop meeting and let the ECB take the key of the house and do the cleaning up.
Charles Wyplosz, thanks very much for talking to us today.
You're very welcome.